I am so thankful for Pastor Tom, Pastor Lori. They give me the opportunity to come up here and speak when they're out of town. That's a lot of trust. Turning over your pulpit to somebody is a lot of trust, and I appreciate the trust they put in me. I'm going to be doing something a little different today than normally, where, you know, I give Stephen a list of 25 scriptures or something like that, and I just go through what the Bible says about a certain subject. Today I want to talk about your citizenship. Now, as I look out here, I'm pretty sure we're all citizens of heaven, but we also have an earthly citizenship. And we need to make sure we don't take that for granted. I mean, what country are you a citizen of, and what is your loyalty? What is your loyalty? These are questions that need to be asked these days. These are questions that, you know, when you become a citizen of the United States, not naturally born one, you are swearing allegiance to the United States, but yet some of those people who have done that, they then turn around and start dissing the country that gave them citizenship and being loyal to the country they came from. You know, the writer of Hebrews said they could return to that country from whence they came. Now, he was talking about they had opportunity to, but they didn't because they chose to put their loyalty in the citizenship of heaven. President Trump recently said just this week that the biggest thing we have to do is we have to stop this horrible threat of cancer that's permeating our country called communism. Yeah. Some of the New York primaries, the New York City people have elected avowed communists. When Barack Obama ran for president, the Communist Party didn't put up a candidate for the first time in decades. Yeah, did you not know that? When Barack Obama first ran for president, the Communist Party of the United States backed him and did not put up a candidate for the first time in decades. That does tell you a lot. And then look how the country slipped and slipped and slipped until 2016. When some guy got in who nobody thought could possibly make it. And then comes 2020, and somehow somebody won the election who couldn't get 500 people to show up at a rally versus a guy who put a football stadium's to capacity. And I think that was a good thing because we learned how anti-Christ the people that got into power were. Persecuting Christians, arresting Christians.
Yes. Right.
People getting beat to a pulp outside an abortion center, and they barely get prosecuted. They get a slap on the wrist, yelled at an elderly woman who was praying outside there, got arrested and thrown in jail for years. All she did was pray. She didn't block access. She didn't do anything. She was thrown in jail for years. There had become a two-tier legal system in the United States. But that's getting shut down now. But if we hadn't had 4 years of that, I don't think the second Trump administration would be the administration it's being now.
Right.
I'm not trying to get political. But there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a devil, there is a hell.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Amen.
And this is a country divided, they may say against political and racial lines, but no, it's a country divided in spiritual lines.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
That's where the division is.
That's right.
No, the people on the other side that are joining forces. Communists, those who think there are multiple genders and sexes, the wokeness, right? And Islamic Arabs?
Yeah.
How is that a group?
Yeah.
Right.
You have two groups that would literally totally murder and destroy the third group, or the middle group that I mentioned, the woke people, gays and lesbians. If we had an Islamic government, those would be the first to be executed.
Right.
Right.
Yet they combine forces.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are these forces? These forces are anti-Christ.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's the anti-Christ that Revelation is talking about. I'm saying these are forces that are anti-Christian. Yes. They are against the anointing of Jesus, which is what Christ is.
That's right.
Yes. That's right.
Christ is a Greek word. It is not an English word. It is not Jesus' last name. Christ means anointing.
That's right. Yes.
Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah.
Yes.
Anointing. And the reference to Messiah is not just anointing, but the anointed one.
Yes.
So when you're talking about Christ, you're talking not about just Jesus, you are talking about the anointing that Jesus had to be the payment for the sin of the entire world. For 250 years, this country has stood as a shining light in the darkness. There's a devil that John 10:10 tells us comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Yes.
But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, to the full, till it overflows, the Amplified Classic says.
Yes.
The devil doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to have enough money to give to every good work.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want churches filled. He doesn't want missionaries sent out. He wants the gospel shut up.
Yeah.
And he was doing real good at it, 21 through 24.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
For a very long time now, that's what he's trying to do, is to silence the church.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read you an excerpt from the sermon. We and our countrymen are sinners, aggravated sinners. God proclaims that we are such by his judgments now upon us, by withering fields and scanty harvests, by the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Our consciences must also bear witness to the same melancholy truth. And if my heart were properly affected, I would concur with these undoubted witnesses. I would cry aloud and not spare. I would lift up my voice like a trumpet to show you your transgressions and your sins. O, my country, is not your wickedness great and your iniquities infinite? Where is there a more sinful spot to be found upon our guilty globe? Pass over the land, take a survey of the inhabitants, inspect into their conduct. What do you see? What do you hear? You see gigantic forms of vice braving the skies and bidding defiance to heaven and earth, while religion and virtue is obliged to retire and avoid public comment, contempt, and insult. See your herds of drunkards swilling down their cups, drowning all the man within them. You hear the swearer venting his fury against God and man, trifling with that name which prostrate angels adore, and imprecating the damnation under which the hardiest devil in hell trembles and groans. You see avarice hoarding up her useless treasures, dishonest craft planning her schemes of unlawful gain, and oppression unmercifully grinding the face of the poor. How many poor in this country actually pay taxes? If you are working and you are poor, you are still paying taxes, yet they uncovered a scheme It was bilking the taxpayers of billions of dollars, and it was an international scheme for foreign students.
Yeah.
Claiming hundreds of students that didn't even exist. And bilking taxpayers out of billions. Yes, unmercifully, and oppression unmercifully grinding the face of the poor is happening. You see, prodigality squandering her stores, luxury spreading her table and unmanning her guests, vanity laughing aloud and dissolving in empty, unthinking mirth, regardless of God and of our country, of time and eternity. Sensuality wallowing in brutal pleasures and aspiring with inverted ambition to sink as low as four-footed brethren of the stall. You see, cards in more use than the Bible. Gambling table more frequented than the table of the Lord. Plays and romances more read than the history of the blessed Jesus. You see trifling and even criminal diversions become a serious business. The issue of a horse race or a fight more anxiously attended to than the fate of our country. Or where these grosser forms of vice and vanity do not shock your senses, even there you often meet with the appearances of more refined impiety, which is equally dangerous. You hear the conversation of reasonable creatures, of candidates for eternity, engrossed by trifles or vainly wasted on the affairs of time. These are the eternal subjects of conversation, even at the threshold of the house of God and on the sacred hours devoted to this service. You see swarms of prayerless families all over our land, ignorant, vicious children, unrestrained and untaught by those to whom God and nature has entrusted their souls. You see thousands of poor slaves in a country, the property of Christian masters, and they will be called almost as ignorant of Christianity as they were when they left the wilds. You see the best religion in all the world abused, neglected, disobeyed, and dishonored by its professors. And you hear infidelity scattering her ambiguous hints and suspicions or openly attacking the Christian cause with pretended argument and insult and ridicule. You see crowds of professed believers that are practical atheists, nominal Christians, that are real heathens, many abandoned slaves of sin, that yet pretend to be servants of the Holy Jesus. You see the ordinances of the gospel neglected by some, profaned by others, attended on by the generality with a trifling irreverence and stupid unconcernedness. Who would think that these thoughtless assemblies we often see in our places of worship are met for such solemn purposes as to implore the pardon of their sins from an injured God? I'm going to just insert a name here, the Church of James Tallarico. Do any of you know who he is, what he stands for? He's a pastor. He thinks there are six sexes. He's running for Senate in the state of Texas, claiming to be a Christian, who hangs a pride flag in his church and says abortion is godly. This is the person inhabiting a thoughtless assembly that we see in our places of worship. That's kind of what this is pointing to. Or is to implore the pardon of their sins from an injured God and prepare for an awful, all-important eternity? Is that the religion for the propagation of which the Son of God labored, bled, and died, and for which his apostle and thousands of martyrs have spent their strength and shed their blood, and on which our eternal life depends? Is that religion become such a trifle in our days that men are hardly serious and in earnest when they attend upon its most solemn institutions? What multitudes lie in a dead sleep in sin all around us? You see them eager in the pursuit of vanities and time, but stupid and unconcerned about the important realities of the eternal world just before them. Few solicitous of what shall become of them when their connections with earth and flesh must be broken and they take their flight into strange unknown regions. Few lamenting their sins. Few crying for mercy in a new heart, few flying to Jesus or justly sensible of the importance of a mediator in a religion for sinners. You may indeed see some degree of civility and benevolence toward men, and more than enough cringing compliance of clay to clay, dirt to dirt, guilt to guilt. But oh, how little sincere homage, how little affectionate veneration of the great Lord of heaven and earth. You may see something of duty to parents, of gratitude to benefactors, and obedience to superiors, but if God be a father, where is his honor? If he be a master, where is his fear? If he be our benefactor, where is our gratitude to him? You may see here and there some instances of proud, self-righteous virtue, some appearances of morality, but oh, how rare is vital evangelical religion and true Christian morality, animated with the love of God proceeding from a new heart and a regard to the divine authority, full of Jesus, full of regard to him as a mediator, on whose account alone our duties can find acceptance. Oh, blessed Redeemer, what little necessity, what little use do sinners in our country find for you and their religion? How many discourses are delivered, how many prayers offered, how many good works performed, in which there is scarce anything of Christ. And this defect renders them all but shining sins, glittering crimes. How few pant and languish for you, blessed Jesus, and can never be contented with their reformation and their morality with their good works till they obtain an interest in your righteousness to sanctify all, to render all acceptable. You may see children sensible of their dependence on their parents for their subsistence. You see multitudes sensible of their dependence on the clouds, the sun, and the earth for provision for man and beast. But how few sensible of their dependence upon God and upon the original, the premium mobile of nature causes the various wheels of the universe. You see, even the dull ox knows his owner and the stupid donkey his master's crib. You see the workings of gratitude even in your dog who welcomes you home with a thousand motions. But how is Jehovah's government and agency practically denied in his own territories? How few receive the blessings of life as from his hand and make him the proper returns of gratitude? You see a withering, ravaged country around you languishing under the frowns of an angry God. But how few earnest prayers, how few penitential groans do you hear? Pass over the land and bring me intelligence. Is this not the general character of our country? I know there are some happy exceptions, and I hope sundry such of you might be produced. But is not this the prevailing character of the great majority? Does not one part or other of it belong to the generality? The most generous charity cannot hope to the contrary if under any scriptural or rational limitations. May it not be said of the men of America as well as those of Sodom, they are wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And thus it has been for a long time. Our country has sinned on securely for above 250 years, and one age has improved upon the vices of another. And can a land always bear up under such a load of accumulated wickedness? Can God always suffer such a race of sinners to go unpunished from generation to generation? May we not fear that our iniquities are now just full and that he is about to thunder out his awful mandate to the executioners of his vengeance. Put in the sickle, the harvest is ripe. Come down, for the press is full and the vats overflow and the wickedness is great. That's the calling of the revelation. Will it be an awakening or a revelation? A rapture that we are about to go under. How old is that sermon? Does anybody have any ideas? Not you. Not you. How old is that sermon? Does anybody have any idea? It's from 1755.
Wow.
How similar are the things that are happening in our country now that were happening just before the revolution?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
When our education system has been taken over by communists and perverted people who groom our children.
Yes.
For sexual defilement.
Yes.
When gambling is now commonplace and advertised on TV daily. When entertainment is filled with filthy and ungodly attitudes and examples. Murders are shown on so many primetime shows and anti-Christian sentiment is shoved in our faces day after day. And even the so-called news blatantly lie and shove anti-Christian propaganda down our throats.
Yes.
Drugs are legalized in many states, and yet some Christians still don't go out and vote.
That's right.
Some pastors still say, no, it's not right. Christians should not be voting.
Oh.
Christians should not be involved in politics. Read your Bible.
Oh my gosh.
Read your Bible. Time would fail me if I tried to go over all the proofs that this country was founded on godly principles and on the Bible itself. And I'm not David or Tim Barton. I can't sit here and quote it for you from memory. Let's look at Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 26. And he said, therefore, this is Jesus. He's talking about the fact that he's going to be leaving soon. This is Luke chapter 19. This is not long before the end of the book. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds. And he said to them, occupy till I come. Who was he saying this to? He was saying this to a group of people that were under the occupation of the Roman army. How many people in Holland were allowed to do what they wanted to do under the occupation of the German army? Occupy doesn't mean bide your time. Occupy doesn't mean sit there and do nothing with what you have been given. And you've been given the power of the Spirit of God coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Are you having that coming out of your mouth, or are you having doubt and unbelief come out of your mouth?
Right.
Be careful. Watch what this parable is telling us. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Is that not what wokeness is saying? Is that not what Islam is saying? Is that not what communism says? We will not have this God to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So when he left and he gave them the money, he was expecting them to do business with it. He was expecting a return on his investment. He was expecting profit to be gotten. Excuse me. He called unto him to whom he had given the money that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have you authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying unto him, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up what thou layest not down, and reaps that thou hast not sown. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore, there gavest thou not my money into the bank, that I, at my coming, I might have required mine own with usury. Just a little quick side note here. Bank. There were banks in Jesus' time. There were already people who learned how to gather money in, loan it out, and reap a harvest. Not necessarily in a good way. I'm no friend of banks. I think the housing market is partly the way it is because banks are so willing to loan money and drive up the prices. And yet, if you take out a 30-year loan, you pay for your house two or three times.
Right.
Even at a small interest rate, because you pay all the interest first.
Yeah.
How much money have I paid for my house and I still have, like, I don't know, over $100,000 to pay after 8 years? Which actually, I guess, is pretty good considering what we had to pay for the house. Thou gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury, meaning interest. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Let's think about this for a minute. Jesus is giving a parable to those, telling them, look, I'm going to be taken from you soon. I'm going to leave you with the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raises me from the dead. You better do something with it, or it's going to be taken away from you. I think this is very easily applicable to that situation. He said, occupy till I come when you left. Now, this is a parable, but if it's a parable, he's trying to teach them something. He's trying to teach them, you need to occupy, be an army of occupation till I come. Mm-hmm. Yet what have we done? What have we done? We have turned education over to communists.
Yes.
And not just recently. Yeah.
Nope.
This happened in the 1940s and 50s, so by the time the 60s came around, the communist professors at the colleges were telling them to go out and demonstrate against a country that was fighting to keep a country from being overcome by communism.
Right.
And they won. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Use what God has given you. It's on your nose and above your chin. Use it properly.
Yes.
The word of God is the sword of the Spirit.
Yes.
Speak that word out of your mouth and defeat the devil.
Amen.
Because he cannot stand against that word.
That's right.
When you speak the word of God, he flees.
Yes.
He runs away in a panic.
Amen.
He goes, don't wake up. There are people who the devil doesn't want them waking up because he is afraid of what's going to come out of their mouth when they wake up. There are other people who he wakes up because he loves what comes out of their mouth when they wake up. So what happened to the servant that didn't occupy anything but his time? As Christians, we should occupy every area of society. Education, political office, entertainment. Lance Wallnau calls it the 7 mountains of influence. Family, religion, education, government, arts, media, and business. That's what we need to be occupying. That's where we need to be leaders. And it starts with being leaders in our families, with teaching our children the Word of God. It starts with becoming school board members and starting to turn around this wokeness. Do you know that the state of Texas has for years had requirements about teaching the Constitution and teaching the godly principles that this country was founded on, but the textbook publishers would only hit 50% of those requirements because by law they weren't required to hit more than 50%. But the publishers published Texas because there's so many millions of school children in Texas. They follow those guidelines, not the guidelines of Illinois. So Texas said, no more. Pending the outcome of a vote coming up this week, and this is something we should definitely be praying for, Texas will be publishing their own textbooks with their own guidelines that say, we are going to put the Bible back in the textbooks.
Yes. Wow.
Not because it's the Word of God, but because it is literature.
Yes, it is.
It is good literature.
Yes.
It is sound principles.
Yes.
For a country.
That's right.
Think about this for a little bit. Darwin's teachings became textbook literature in the 1890s. By the 1920s, the students who had heard that were now the professors. By the 1950s, the professors those people taught had become the professors that were teaching communism, getting paid our tax dollars to do it.
That's right.
By the 1990s, wokeness was creeping into the school systems. But now we take that, and there are several states that have already said, if Texas publishes them, Oklahoma. And several, it's not just Oklahoma, but I happen to have a niece who's a teacher in Oklahoma. They are going all in on the Texas textbooks as soon as they're published. Then in 30 years, those children will be the professors. It is generational change.
Yes.
This is why we need to pray that this vote goes the way of Texas publishing their own textbooks.
Yes.
And the Bible getting back in the schools.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let me tell you something. They may have said no prayer allowed in school, twisting the whole separation of church and state to be the opposite of what it was actually meant to be.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Read the whole letter from Thomas Jefferson, mm-hmm. not one line, not eight words out of the letter.
Right.
I know.
Okay. It is generational change.
Amen.
That is what is coming. That is what an awakening creates. Because an awakening goes beyond revival, where people merely give their heart to Jesus. An awakening goes to discipleship and to changing the culture.
Amen.
If you did not see the movie A Great Awakening, go find where it is online, stream it, watch it. Beth and I both cried watching it. The move of God that is displayed is so absolutely phenomenal. I want to read you a quote from one of the founding fathers, a man who was considered the least religious of the founding fathers, and who is often referred to today as, oh, he was a deist. No. By his own admission, in his own autobiography, he said he was a deist for a few weeks as a teenager. And then said, no, this is not right, and abandoned it. In the situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understandings? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind of providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. Is that the sound of a deist? And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in the political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments, be human wisdom and leave it to chance and war. I think that's supposed to be by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. That was Benjamin Franklin.
Wow.
That was at the Constitutional Convention. We were a country founded on the Word of God.
Yes.
The founders spoke the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. They prayed. They were not deists. Don't listen to the lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were men who were not perfect.
That's right.
They were men who had failures. But there were preachers telling them slavery is wrong even from then. Do you know why slavery was not outlawed in the Constitution of the United States? Because South Carolina refused to sign the Constitution if they made slavery illegal. One colony kept it out of the Constitution. How much can one person do if they're willing to stand and use the Word of God? Look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God coming out of your mouth is a sword coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Why do you think in Revelation he talks about a sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus? What is that sword? It's the word of God. You have a sword. It's this word of God. Put it to use. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 3 gives us direction. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Intercession. Giving of thanks. We need to have a thankful heart. For kings and all that are in authority.
Yes.
Even J.P. Pritzker.
Yes.
Pray that he gets saved.
Amen.
Pray that his works are confounded.
Yes.
Pray that those communists, woke people, and Islamists would be confounded and bite and devour one another. All that are in authority. Why? Why do we pray for these people? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is to our benefit that we pray for all that are in authority. And yes, when Joe Biden was president, I had a hard time praying for him.
Yeah.
I kept praying that he would be removed.
Yes. That's right.
Now I pray for President Trump.
Yeah.
that he protected.
Yes.
That the moles within his government, and they are there, would be removed.
Yes. Amen.
I pray that in this midterm election, godly people will be elected.
Yes.
Yes.
Godly people would replace godless people.
Yes.
I declare the Save Act is passed in time to be enacted before the November elections.
Amen.
I don't just pray it, I declare it.
Yes.
The Bible says you decree a thing and it will come to pass.
Amen.
Use the power of the Word of God that was given to you. Use the power of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells on the inside of you. Use that power. Don't let it be taken away from you. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's a good thing that you pray for those in authority over us.
Yes.
Amen.
And then the last and most important thing you can do. Get the word to Christians who are not voting. Get out there and vote.
Yes.
Exercise your God-given right to rule and reign in this earth. The way you rule and reign is you vote. We even vote in the small local elections that have such small turnouts. Sam becomes a school board member. Then Sam becomes the head of the school board. Then the next thing you know, Sam's running for state representative. And then he's running for the House. And then he's running for the Senate.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it starts out. But you got to start out running for something. There's political offices that have nobody running against the incumbent. And what I've started to see in our McHenry County elections is more and more of those are going to Arabs. The only name on the ballot is an Arab name. Get out there and vote. Get out there and run.
Yeah.
Find out what positions there are that aren't being nobody's actually going and running for it, and go run for it. Be a godly influence in society. Occupy till Jesus comes. Amen?
Amen.
That's where our citizenship should be. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the anointing that dwells on the inside of us. We will occupy this country. We thank you, Father, for revival, and we declare awakening on the United States of America. The word of God will prevail, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.